Good afternoon, and welcome to this special edition of Right Here, Right Now, brought to you by Right Choice Services in conjunction with Business Radio X. I am your host, Tim Morrison. On Right Here, Right Now, we interview business leaders, entrepreneurs, and professionals about their work and the book they have written, are in the process of writing, or intend to write someday. My co-host for the program usually is Don Payton, but he's off elsewhere setting up a new Business Radio X studio. So for this afternoon and this special edition, we've got Alan Dobrinsky.
Yes, I'm here.
I am so glad you're here.
Thank you.
You may be the most organized one here so far.
I'm trying.
Somebody needs to be. But, you know, it's always delightful to work with you, Alan, on our special edition especially. How's that?
Thank you.
You know, as I mentioned in our opening tag, on Right Here, Right Now, we interview business leaders, entrepreneurs, and professionals about their work and the book they have written or in the process of writing or intend to write someday. But in this special edition, we are still doing that. However, the focus is not going to be on the books our guests have written or are writing. Instead, we offer this show for our friends, relatives, colleagues, and peers who are among the active job seekers. The holiday season kicks off this coming week with Thanksgiving and, of course, continues on through New Year's. Some folks believe it is pointless to be in an active job search right now. All attention is on holiday preparation and or year-end matters for businesses. And our guests are going to share their insights as to why this might be the best time of the year to intensify your job search or not.
Hey, Dr. Tim.
Yeah.
I'm always in a job search. If you're going to pay me enough, I'll quit whatever I'm doing and I'll switch.
You would do that. You would do that.
Sorry to interrupt. But I just thought
No, you're not
that.
Sorry. I forgot. You're Alan. You're not Stone. Okay. Well, we have calling in from Milwaukee, Wisconsin, Wayne Breitbart, and he's the author of The Power Formula for LinkedIn Success. Kickstart your business, brand, and job search. Wayne is a seasoned business person, owns his own retail business, and he conducts seminars on the effective use of LinkedIn. And in the studio with me right now is Richard Kirby. He's author of Fast Track Your Job Search and Career, How to Get Paid What You're Worth by Avoiding Common Career Roadblocks. Richard is the founder of Executive Impact, a leading career coaching firm in Atlanta, Georgia. And somewhere between Georgia Highway 400 and our studio, making his way here is Emil Paradis of the Referral Institute. And Emil consults with and trains professionals, executives, and entrepreneurs, anyone for whom networking is a key element to the business success. Now, we're doing something different today. In addition to this special edition, we're going to invite listeners to this live broadcast to email in questions for our panel of experts. And after switching around a few different addresses over the past 2 hours, we're going back to the one I originally put out. And that is, if you have a question you would like to submit to our panel, email it to me. And this is the address, whwnbusinessradiox@gmail.com. And I'll keep an eye on my computer, and when I see a question pop up, we'll send it on over to our guests. So we're also going to have an open mic round robin response and conversation pretty much today. So with all of that, welcome to all of my guests, and even to you, Alan.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Great. Wayne, that's your... There you go.
I appreciate that.
Thank you. I wanted to make sure I hadn't put you to sleep yet. So, hey, Wayne, I'm going to start with you. Is the holiday season a particularly bad time, fruitless time to job hunt, or is it really a good time in disguise, or is it neither one?
Well, I think when you're in the job hunt, you've got to be on the job hunt 24/7, 12 months a year, because, you know, it's your number one objective, and business people are still doing business for these next 6 weeks, and they're still listening to people and reviewing things online and offline. And, you know, as much as maybe it's hard to get an order by the end of the year, or maybe not for tax purposes, it might be just the opposite. But for the people who are looking, you've got to be doing this stuff. And the nice thing about some of the things we'll talk about today is you can do them right from your living room with your jammies on and your cup of hot chocolate with the fireplace and still doing a form of networking.
Would you recommend getting out of your jammies and putting on a coat and tie and going out and knocking on some doors?
Well, that has to be part of it for sure.
Okay, I wanted to make sure. You know what, folks? And one of the beauties of radio is you can't see what just happened. But a meal has arrived, and not only has a meal arrived, he's brought Jim Hogan with him. We may have four people.
And a young lady, too.
Well, we have got a lady.
She doesn't have a name tag.
She doesn't have a name tag, she doesn't have a headset, and she doesn't have a microphone.
She can come on over here and sit down. So,
Jim, you're part of Referral Institute as well.
As a matter of fact, I am, Tim.
So, Wayne's the one that's calling in. So if Emil allows, you can weigh in on this too, okay?
I'll give you my best opinion.
That could be a problem.
Maybe.
Yeah. Okay. Richard, same question to you. Is the holiday season a particularly bad time, fruitless time for job hunter, or a good time?
Well, I think it's hit and miss. You just never know. Certainly people have to take vacation, and if they stored it up, they're not going to be available. So you would figure that you're not going to be able to contact and get in front of everyone you would like. However, I would throw out the paradigm shifter that people are actually more available during the holidays than normal, because if you think about it, business is, except for retails, mm-hmm. that'd be exception, but many standard businesses are actually slowed down during the holidays. People are in the office who are having to cover for other people, and they're easier to catch on the phone and possibly grab them if they have to pop out for lunch or coffee.
Okay. I like that one. Emil, the question again is this good time, bad time, indifferent time to be job searching and networking?
Well, certainly, I believe all
time, of the above, huh?
Yeah, but also, you know, every time has its advantage. Certainly this time, people might be able to change their focus a little bit, maybe have more time to spend on helping someone else in a job search. Interesting conversation this morning with somebody. He talked about this was a good time in his business because the people that were buying from him had more time to do the research. So if you take that kind of a thought process and apply it to a job search, this could make it a very good time.
I'll tell you why I started off with this question. What triggered my wanting to do this show is I think it was 6-7 years ago I heard Jim Chachansky say that this is a time to be out because people aren't traveling. The executives aren't. Budgets are established. Now, look, Wayne, I know I'm hoping you're still there. I can't watch you. I can kick these guys. But if you want to weigh in at any time, you're just going to have to fight for airtime since we can't see you.
You got it.
All right. Do you want to challenge either of these people on what they've said or add some more to the mix?
I agree with those comments 100%.
Great. Okay.
Tim, Tim, the job seekers, there is a certain segment of job seekers that can find a reason to not work at their job search any time of the year.
Oh, no.
So any of our listeners who maybe have found themselves feeling that way but not really wanting to admit it, this might be the best time to go ahead and admit it, that you're looking for a reason to stop looking for now, and this is a good excuse as any. But in reality, as was said earlier, I mean, you need to be looking all the time.
Okay, great. I have now been put on the spot. I now have the name of our female presence here, and I usually try these before we're on air, but we're on air. Is it Madalu?
Perfecto.
Oh, why don't you just tell me what your last one is?
Perez de Lara.
Okay.
Perez de Lara. Good afternoon. And I'm just here because I am a future customer of Emil. He's great. I just got out from a seminar that he offered on the Georgia Hispanic Chamber of Commerce.
Oh,
my. It was real good.
Oh, that's great.
Really, you go there and you get engaged. You really want to take his coach. He's a good one.
Did you pay her for that?
No. I need to pay him. I will hire him.
Now he's blushing. It's great to see Emil blush. Okay, great opportunities for networking. We've got parties, socials, gatherings, events. Or are they not such good things for networking, Wayne?
Well, they are a great time for networking. And the one LinkedIn tip, let me sneak some LinkedIn here while we're going along
the
way.
Please do that, yes.
The thing that I've really been promoting, not just to job seekers, but to those of us out in the marketplace trying to do some sales business, is to try to get a hold of RSVP list prior to your attending that event.
Oh, my.
Because part of it is you walk into an event and maybe there's a 20 or 30 or maybe even 100 people and you're thinking to yourself, now how am I going to find the five people that I'd love to talk to? Well, my little friend LinkedIn will help you with that if you get the names ahead of time and punch those people in, go through some profiles and think to yourself, these five are the ones I want to talk to. And you know what? Most of the good news is you got a picture. And it's working. I'm teaching this to some of my salespeople, but it fits for job seekers too, is just to say, you will then look across the room and go, you know what? I'm not going to waste all night with the people that I'm not sure I'm going to get anywhere with. That person over there could be a big help to me. I'm going to go say hi.
What I hear in that, which intrigues me, is that, you know, I'm often besieged with requests to link in with somebody after I've spoken somewhere and they say, we met. Well, no, we didn't. You were sitting in probably the 10th row back, the fourth chair over, and I really don't know who you are. So I kind of pass on those. But what you're saying is more than just doing the I got to link up and get the numbers up is to look at the pictures, find who they are, and really get to know them so when you meet them, you do something smart. Is that right?
Yeah, you know, when you get to look at the profiles, you know, you can look at profiles ahead of time and think to yourself strategically, I'm going to go to this event tonight. I'm going to make sure it's not just a bunch of shrimp and sausage and the wrong people, and I'm going to try to find the right people so that in the end of the night, I met four or five people that I think could help me accomplish my goal, whether that's job seeking or trying to build your business.
Okay. Well, Emil, you're the specialist in networking. Over to you. Yeah, I guess part of what I'm thinking is, you know, these are cocktail parties, and anything goes, or they're Christmas parties or holiday parties, and they could, you know, they have a reputation of being a disaster.
Yep. I would say the first thing is to clarify in your mind what your purpose is for going to the event. Am I going to try to make some direct connections with prospective employers or connections into those employers, or am I going to try to make connections with connectors? And that's going to dictate a lot of your conversation and how you enter into those conversations. If it's a more social party, you may be just beginning a relationship with someone who may take an interest and want to help you.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to a business seasonal party, then you might be taking another strategy, another approach, more direct, as Wayne said. Do some intel work beforehand, find out who's going to be there, identify some targets, if you will, and then make sure you make those connections.
Richard, you look like you're chomping at the bit.
Oh, yeah, I agree with everything they said. Just to add something on top of that, I definitely agree with Emil about have a goal. I see so many people who network, and their goal is to meet someone or to shake their hand or to exchange business cards. Of course, that doesn't get you very far down the road. But I would suggest, unless this is a format where you can spend a lot of time with the person and that is comfortable, you need to look at this as more of a short meeting where you have a few minutes with that person. And I would suggest people consider delaying their gratification. In other words, if I'm meeting you and I would want to say, Tim, let's get together after the holidays. I want to have coffee, and I'd like to sit down and talk to you about some ideas I have and find out what's going on with you and your business and how I might help you. Then I've given you the hook to want to meet with me. There's something in it for you, and I'm not trying to sit here and regurgitate on you while you're eating your shrimp. We're going to have a friendly conversation, but I've got my objective in mind, if that's what it is. And then the second thing I'd say is make it about you. I mean, not only if I express to you that I hope I can help you and I'd like to get together and find out, but also sit and listen and ask you questions now and demonstrate that behavior to you right at this moment, then you're going to believe more that's what I'm going to do in our future meeting.
Okay, I like that.
And that kind of goes back, that kind of goes back to the idea you don't want to be the guy that no one wants to sit next to.
Oh, isn't that the truth?
So if it's a holiday party, people are going there major to have a good time.
Mm-hmm. And I meant regurgitate figuratively, not literally.
Hey, Tim, I would like to add, just let me throw something in here.
Sure.
The one of the best practices for a person as it relates to the physical event that they're at, but then the next step, being able to send a LinkedIn invitation to that person and remind them, hey, we met last night, I'd love to get together in January, but in the meantime, let's connect on LinkedIn. It's a great way to sort of ask the question, I liked you, did you like me?
Boy, that's hitting home. Because I had to deal with a few of those this morning, and it's, talk to me more about that, Wayne.
You know, so I call those people work in process connections.
Okay.
Because they don't qualify as trusted professionals, which is what LinkedIn is designed for specifically.
Yeah.
But you say to yourself, I did have a good conversation. I think there's something there. We did sort of say we might get together in the future, and it's just a way to reaffirm and to show your promptness and your aggressiveness that you're the one that asked them, and mm-hmm. they'll be impressed by that. Just that alone will say, you know what? He's on the ball. That's pretty good stuff. And then what you've got then is you have then the ability between then and when you do get together in January to what? Look through their connections and see if there's some commonality in some of the connections they have, and you could do your homework and say, when you have that breakfast or lunch, you'll know there's three or four people in their network that you'd love to sort of figure out how close they are to them because it looks like it could help you. Or you could help them.
Well, I would agree with Wayne. LinkedIn, I use it every day. It's a fabulous tool. I would just say that it's not the magic formula. Like if I gave you my Rolodex, that doesn't mean you have access to all those people. And because I don't know you or like you or trust you, that I'll just instantly introduce you and refer you. So, you know, it still requires some subtlety of human interaction. But given that as the preface, mm-hmm. I think LinkedIn's a tremendous tool. It's almost like having a Rolodex open to the public for people to understand who's connected to who.
I'll tell you, it's interesting in looking at LinkedIn. I recently, we have an addition to our household is my niece who moved from another city, smaller city, to move here to look for a career. She's working retail right now, and they don't teach kids how to network, and I'm trying to teach her how to network, so I'm the pro. She had a little realization in how real this can be. I networked her in an interview through meeting somebody at multiple times and just at the right time, and we were into the the very visible. We've been visible together. We have been credible. And he said, "Well, as a matter of fact, I don't have a job open now, but I'm looking for someone who." And we made some descriptions. Well, she did get an interview, and an email came across the other day said, "We're in the process of talking with HR," and she had this little light that went on. She said, "I can't believe." And I've been telling her for a month and a half, you don't go to the newspaper to get a job. You don't go to the internet to get a job. I said, you know, you have to find other ways. And that means leverage me. And I told her to go find me on LinkedIn and link with me and go look through my Rolodex. Look at the companies that people work for. I will help you. Where do you want to go? And they don't teach kids that nowadays. It's pretty sad.
Yeah, they don't teach it in the MBA programs, which is one of the things I always harp on, is people come out with advanced degrees and they think because they have an advanced degree in their education mm-hmm. that somehow that makes them more marketable, which it may or may not, but they don't teach the stuff in MBA programs these days either, mm-hmm. and traditionally they never have.
Wayne, you want to break in with anything here?
No, I totally agree with I teach my class at colleges, and I do spend a chunk of that time not as much on the details of LinkedIn, because the one thing the younger people have is an intuitiveness about online marketing and social media tools, much more so than those of us from the baby boomer generation.
Mm-hmm.
But what they don't have is they have sort of the skill of reaching out and shaking someone's hand, looking them in the eye, and being able to carry on a conversation for a half a beer or something can be very tricky, and they need that practice.
And some people, that can be 2 minutes, you know.
Mm-hmm. Or less.
Or less. But I'm sorry. I shouldn't have done that, but I know who I'm sitting with here. So,
well, Jim mentioning about referrals and all of that, and of course, that's what Emil is involved with all the time. The power of referral is tremendous, and I don't mean to be trying to top Jim, but I have a client recently who's been in a rather low-paying job for 3 years, and he came and started working with me, And I was able to get him an interview with a company that's readily offered him a job at three times what he was making within 2 weeks.
Love it.
And so I got him the interview, and he got the job offer, and that was a direct referral. Now, many times it takes steps, and you have to go mm-hmm. through people, and it's not that easy. I wouldn't say that's slam dunk sort of networking, and that doesn't happen a lot, mm-hmm. but it's an example of the power.
Yeah, if I could
go for it.
Follow up on a couple of the comments were made. One of the things that I think that that Richard alluded to, and I heard a little in Wayne as well, and that is earning the right or the to expect help, and you can use certain tools like LinkedIn to get you information, but if there's not a compelling reason for somebody to want to help you, then you shouldn't have an expectation that they will, other than you struck on Mother Teresa or somebody that has a lot of extra time on their hands. So, you know, Richard mentioned before about looking for ways that you can help them in some way, and it might not always be obvious right off,
mm-hmm.
but there are a lot of things with a little bit of discussion that you can identify that would help build that relationship so that they will be motivated to not just do the one thing for you, but to help you in an ongoing way that's going to ultimately get you where you want to go.
That's an old concept, but they talk about emotional bank account, but I like it. It's the idea of, if you haven't deposited in my emotional bank account, why are you coming to make a withdrawal?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Okay. and Emil, you talk about wampum. Isn't that the phrase for you?
Yeah.
We collect so much wampum, and we need to use it wisely.
Yeah, that's
correct.
Okay.
We've talked a little bit about, or it's come up, that you can sit and do the internet kind of thing, or you get up and get out and do all of that. Are there particular do's and don'ts for job searching, again, in this time of the season, the time of the year?
Well, I mentioned one about, you know, don't regurgitate on the people and make it about them, especially when you may only have 5 or 10 minutes there in front of them.
Mm-hmm.
There's an old phrase, they may forget what you said, but they'll never forget how you made them feel.
Ooh.
So how are you making that person feel? And, you know, Wayne mentioned earlier, he said, I enjoyed meeting you. Did you enjoy meeting me? I think, you know, that's what you want to accomplish, is you want it to be an enjoyable experience. So I think that would be one thing, is make it more about them.
Okay.
You know, one of the things that, no matter the time of the year, that I concentrate on and try to get my clients to concentrate on is, if you're going to networking events or meetings of those sorts, if you go without yourself in mind, if you go with someone else in mind, you're probably going to be a lot more comfortable. You can have your purpose that you're mm-hmm. trying to accomplish. You want to meet certain people and so forth. But also, in the forefront of your mind should be looking for opportunities of other people that you're trying to help, who perhaps might be trying to help you as well. So if you go into a conversation looking for those opportunities to talk about someone else, not yourself, not selling yourself, you make a lot more comfortable environment for the people you're talking to, and they don't see you as selfish, self-serving, self-promotional, et cetera, which is the guy no one wants to sit next to. And the
mm-hmm.
and then
I've met that guy a few times.
Exactly. And or you can turn yourself into the person that they see as a giving person, outward looking,
mm-hmm.
someone who's going to make things happen.
That nurture and help. And yeah. Wayne, that would be where I'm going to guess you would say that's where you go to LinkedIn and check out the profile and have things to talk about, right?
Exactly. I mean, the one thing that LinkedIn is great at is a research tool. And if you think about the information on a profile, it's written by a business professional who's dying for you to ask about that information, whether it's their favorite charity or where they went to college or hobbies that they have. And when you're able to do that, before you know it, you're really not talking about what you're even trying to accomplish, but you get that person to open up, and before you know it, you become friends and over that beer, and then before they go, whoa, what were we here to meet about? Because they're talking about something that they're just are passionate about. And
mm-hmm.
usually there's information on somebody's profile that if you do your homework, you can say, these two or three things I'm going to hope to bring up during the conversation sooner than later. And I think that will show, number one, I did my homework, but number two, I'll get the person very comfortable with the relationship we're starting to build.
That makes a lot of sense. I'll share with you an experience. For those of you in the room with me, I went to Econ this morning. morning. And there was a gentleman there for the first time, and I was talking with him afterwards, and he told me he was from New Jersey and that he was trained in engineering. And I got to thinking about that, and I know there are engineering schools in New Jersey. There have to be, but I don't know what their names are. So I said to him, where did you get your degree in engineering? And he said, Lehigh, which happens to be in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, and draws a lot of people from New Jersey. And I knew that, and I said, what year? And he said, 63. And I looked at him and said, I'm class of 71. I had not gone to a LinkedIn because I didn't know the guy, but I put the pieces together, engineering, quality education in New Jersey, and I just had this feeling that it was Lehigh. Don't you know we're going to be doing some talking now out of
Absolutely.
That. Yeah.
Tim,
yeah.
You mentioned about tools. A couple other quick ones I'd mention is if you have a business card and you're currently employed, then, of course, you can use your existing business card to give people to tell them how to get in touch with you. If you're unemployed and a job seeker, you need a professional-looking business card and go out and fork over the bucks because it's the number one thing you need to leave behind with people rather than having 25 copies of your resume in your portfolio and sort of regurgitating the resume, so to speak, on them. Give them a business card and let them know how to get in touch with you.
You know, you were talking about that connection you were looking for. One of the things that's very important as when you're out networking for whatever purpose is to find ways to connect with whoever it is you're talking with, because you, by doing so, you can uncover and discover a lot of things that you might not otherwise have that could be very valuable. And I like the book Click, because he talks about VSP, which is share vulnerability with the other person, maybe tell a story about yourself or a self-deprecating humor or whatever that vulnerability helps to take the barriers down. The second thing is similarity. What do we have in common? And, you know, going, like Wayne said, to LinkedIn to do a little bit of preparatory work to find and search for some of those commonalities can really help to escalate and advance conversations and that connection. And then the third one's proximity. Are there places that we can get together easily? We're meeting at this event. Is this a regular event? Can I meet you here regularly? Or are there other things that make it easy for us to be together? Because just the mere proximity creates a relationship. Even if we don't speak, if we just see each other there. And think about the times you've been in a large group on a repeating basis with people, and you see someone over and over again, maybe nod at them once in a while, but when you see them at the grocery store or someplace away from that place, it's easy for you to talk. You're friends. And you have something in common to talk about and say hello. So if you go into conversations thinking about that vulnerability, how can I create that initial connection, bring down the barriers, and what similarities do we have? And then are there places that will enable us to communicate easily, get together again? Those are three things to keep in mind if you are going to be trying to create a network for a job opportunity.
Wayne, I want to come at you with a question, but first I want to remind people who are listening, if you do want to shoot in an email with a question for me to give to our panel, send that email to whwnbusinessradiox@gmail.com. Wayne, I devoured your book, LinkedIn Success, The Power Formula for LinkedIn Success, and on your bio in there, it talks about you're an honest-to-God full in the flesh business person. You have a company, retail business, right?
I own an office furniture dealership up here in southeastern Wisconsin, Milwaukee. Milwaukee proper, but we serve the southeastern part of the state.
Uh-huh. How do you use LinkedIn with your business? Let's hear it from the authority of how you use this in your office furniture business.
Our number one use of LinkedIn is when we hear of either a building or a company moving or an expansion or remodeling. Those are sort of the buzzwords that get me excited at cocktail parties, believe me. That means they're usually going to buy some furniture or move their existing furniture, which usually offers us an opportunity. So when we hear that, then we'll use the advanced search feature on LinkedIn to figure out who we know at that company. And when I say we strategize that in our sales meetings with the entire sales force to find out which person has the closest inside connection. And then that will be the person who's assigned that what would have normally been a cold call now hopefully becomes a warmer call, because we search it and go, hey, it looks like you've got a friend there at that company. How close a friend? Or they'll go around the room and go, yeah, but my person's higher up and they're a third degree, but I think I can work that harder. So we strategize using advanced people searching and which relationships in the room we think we can get into a company the quickest. That's probably our number one use.
I like that number one, and I'm going to put you on the spot. What's a number two use? I've learned so much reading your book about how to do this retail stuff, and I'm trying to figure out how I can apply it in my own work. But what you've just said is so amazing. All of us focus in, who do we know so we can get a job over here or over there? I'm giving you carte blanche for the next few minutes just to share your pearls of wisdom.
Sure. The number two use is definitely making sure you strategically craft your profile. And you notice I use the word craft. Profile is about two things at the 35,000-foot view. It's about having the right keywords in there so people can find you when they do want to find you. And then secondly, once they find you, is your profile interesting? Does your profile scream out the fact that you are capable at a certain thing and you're looking forward to working with people in this area? And so many people don't understand those two concepts, that it's strategic about keywords, not only which ones they are, but where you put them on the profile is how fast, how high you turn out in a search. It's not random. LinkedIn has a secret sauce just like Google does, and you've got to really understand where to put those words to move up as fast as you can. But then once somebody lands in your profile, do they really find your story interesting and engaging and one that they might want to partner with? So that's crafting, you know, and what happens is because it looks like a resume, people tend to load up their resume stuff and say, they slap their hands together and say, well, I'm good. My resume's in there. It looks like a resume to me. I'm good to go. And what they're missing is knowing that your resume probably didn't have enough keywords in multiple places. And secondly, your resume is very historically based instead of forward thinking. And you're going forward. So you got to use spaces on LinkedIn that are designed for more than just your resume.
Okay. Tell me more. Okay. Tell me more.
Yes, sure. So let's go to the keyword part. The strategy part in the keyword is to, and I'll tell you some of mine so maybe it resonates with people. Office furniture, LinkedIn trainer, LinkedIn consultant. Hayworth is the brand we sell. So those would be like four of my critical keywords. So where do you put them? You've got to make sure your keywords are number one in your headline. It's way at the top. It's 128 characters. Your job titles. And in a new section that LinkedIn just added called skills. We have found out through research and everybody trying things, those are three spots that you will move up the search the fastest on a keyword search. Secondly, your keyword should show up somewhere in your summary during your storytelling. Summary isn't meant to be a loaded just keywords, comma. It's meant to be your story. But think about it strategically as you're telling your story. In the specialty section, which is right below your summary, that is 500 characters. And I call that your pantry full of keywords, where specialty section is not necessarily meant to be read anymore. You've read the summary. That's sort of like your cup of coffee with somebody. You get down to specialties. I like people to write the word keywords in caps with a colon and then just list the keywords. And people will understand, okay, I heard your story in the summary. Keywords weren't – the specialty section is not necessarily meant to be read, but it helps you keyword optimize your profile. So those would be the strategies as people are crafting. And, you know, you really got to get a hold of a book or go online and watch some videos and – really figure out how this whole search thing works to really be strategic. Half my book is about the profile, just because it's not intuitive. It's I like to say LinkedIn is just a stupid search engine. That's all it is. But it's not so stupid once you understand how it works. Just like Google, right?
Wayne, yeah. you need to. What was that book you highly recommend that people get about LinkedIn?
Oh, thanks, Tim. It's the Power Formula for LinkedIn Success. Thank you for allowing me to do that.
And, well, of course. And how would I go about getting a copy of that book?
The book is available on Amazon. You can go to my website and pick it up there. And those are probably the two easiest. Or usually your local bookstores, Barnes & Nobles, tend to have them in all towns across the country.
But Wayne, what is your website?
website, powerformula.net.
Okay, powerformula.net. Well, I've been sitting here watching all the people in the studio nodding their heads up and down for everything you're saying, and I want to pass that along so that you know that you're getting affirmation from my colleagues in this side of the table, should we say. Those of you here, what do you have to say?
I just have one thing I'd like to add. The idea of having a brainstorm session either with your sales staff or your referral partners, mm-hmm. People that you're hoping to provide you with those great referrals, and sitting down and talking about what kind of connections each of you might have into a target business or with a person is very powerful. One thing to keep in mind is if no one wins that discussion, no one becomes the one. The idea is, if you think about it in the terms that I like to, which is combined arms, you're not going to shoot them once. You want to shoot them a lot of times. And so the idea is if they get a recommendation from one person within the company, if they get more than that from other people within the company and other connections that they have, eventually they're going to say, you know, I really need to talk to this guy. Everybody's talking about him. Everybody's recommending him. I need to mm-hmm. make time for them. So the more referrals you can get into somebody, especially the higher up, mm-hmm. they are, the better it is for you to do. So mm-hmm. pursue multiple avenues of approach.
All right.
Yeah, I have a client who got an HR job at a major company here in town, and it was interesting. When he got the interview, he called me and he said, the reason I got this interview is because three people who I'm networking with called the hiring manager and said he should interview me. And when he went into the interview, the hiring manager had his resume out there, and he said, you know, I've looked at your resume. You're not really qualified for this job, in my opinion. But because three people called me whose opinions I respect, I'm giving you the benefit of interviewing you, and he got the job.
Oh, my.
So
that's powerful.
Many times when you look at the job specification, it's not always what they actually need or want.
Mm-hmm.
And people with those qualities may not be all that hospitable or fit in with the company culture, even if they have all the qualifications. So it is important to get in front of people, and multiple referrals, like Emil said, can make a difference.
Yeah. Alan,
great
example.
I do. I have a question for Wayne. Hey, Wayne, can you hear me?
You bet.
You mentioned these keywords, which is kind of intriguing. I think that's pretty cool. Now, I have a personal LinkedIn, or I'm thinking of Facebook, where you have a personal one and a business one.
Yes.
Does LinkedIn do the same thing, or no?
LinkedIn now has a company page, which even if you're a solopreneur, you can have a page. And it's also keyword optimized. Now, what's interesting about the company page is it's like a separate section on LinkedIn. And so when you're in the searching part, you would have to select the company and search for that. But if you go right into the company section, which is on the top tab, you can dig then into those companies using the keywords that the company included on their company page. So they're starting to get a little more of the Facebook kind of things. The company page is becoming more and more robust, as I think they see that Facebook's moved that direction. They don't want to lose that kind of turf. Mm-hmm. So I would say every company should have a company page, and even those of us who have solopreneur businesses definitely need to have a company page in addition to our LinkedIn and individual profile.
Cool. Okay. Thanks.
Picking up on what Wayne's talked about LinkedIn, I could, like Wayne, I'm sure, could sit here and talk for a few hours about LinkedIn, but one or two key points. I had a conversation this morning before I came to the studio, and it was with a guy who's a B2B marketer, and he's helped many companies make millions of dollars by improving their marketing process. So when I got on the phone with him, I said, I looked at your LinkedIn profile. Would you like to talk about what you should change on it? Because although he may be good at helping a person sell office furniture or other things like that, he had some things on his LinkedIn profile that were, in my opinion, not very good. And the chief one being in the headline, he had put in a new job or whatever you want to call it in his work history, and he titled it Seeking a New Opportunity. So his headline at the top was his name with, and then it's Seeking New Opportunity. I said, you know, that's like going into a room and saying, hi, my name is Richard Kirby. I'm looking for a job. You know, is that the best position to start the conversation with? I don't like that. I'd recommend people who are looking for jobs, whether you're a consultant or currently employed or unemployed, don't lead with the "I'm looking for a job." I don't think that's very positive.
Yeah. Well, I got to tell you, I'm sitting here thinking, I've got to run home, look at my LinkedIn, see what I need to fix at all of these. I'm enjoying being the host and just watching all this, these pearls of wisdom come by. Let me tell a little bit more about the people that are gathered here. Richard Kirby does volunteer at a job seekers group, and he helps people get pointers on interviewing. And I happen to teach resume writing in that same job seekers group. And I always end my session by saying, if you're not getting calls for interviews, you probably need to work on your resume. If you're getting calls for interviews but you're not getting called back, you probably need to work on your interview skills, in which case, next time we meet, you need to go upstairs and talk to Richard Kirby. And he is really good on that stuff. Now, I'm a graduate of Emil Paradis' program in the Referral Institute, and he has put me through my paces, and what's most disgusting is he's absolutely right on all of it. Emil was talking earlier, well, several
but
of
But Emil is not disgusting himself, right?
It depends.
Occasionally.
Yeah. There he goes,
thanks,
blushing
Richard.
Red again. But, you know, Emil and several of you have pushed the idea of when you go out networking to go in twos. Now, Emil has a B2B meeting once a month, a luncheon, and one of my independent contractors goes to that. And it's we don't plan it, we just do it. Betsy works one part of the room, I work the other, and we meet at the end. And it's just amazing what we've covered by that. I think for the third month in a row, she and I were the last ones to leave this past week because we've got so much information to share. So I give that testimony for you, Emil. What you talk is it works. It works.
Thanks.
Okay. We always say networking and how we do it at the Referral Institute, it's simple but not easy, and you can get distracted very, very quickly.
Yeah.
I like the name Referral Institute, and I'll tell you why. I've worked with different groups that are business development groups, maybe networking groups, mm-hmm. Referral groups, leads groups, all these. And I'm in one now, and I hope those people aren't listening because they might take offense. But I've said this before to the group. I always tell people, I don't want a lead. I want a referral.
Right. Mm-hmm.
A lead is like ambulance chasing. You know, mm-hmm. I heard, and in the office furniture business, Wayne would probably disagree with me. He said, if I hear somebody's moving, tell me they're moving, I'll go chase them down. But especially in my business and in many businesses, it's so much, obviously, so much better if you get referred than if you're just getting, quote, a lead, which you're chasing and trying mm-hmm. to chase down.
That makes a lot of sense. Wayne, what are you doing to keep your presence before the public right now? Are you shifting anything at all? And obviously, I picked on you first so you other people know what's coming.
Well, what I'm doing is we're spending more time. And myself and my LinkedIn business is sort of a side business that I have. And here in the office furniture business, we're spending most of our time in doing physical networking events in the industries that are important to us. So we've moved away from having big budgets for advertising and those kinds of things. And we're now focusing on the network that usually knows what's going on in the building, remodeling, expanding world here in Milwaukee. So that's architects, designers, general contractors, that kind of thing. And that's where we're spending our time and our effort because, you know, there just isn't the money for those kind of budgets, but we've got a lot of energy and we've got a lot of time on our hands. And so we're spending more time with that than we usually do. Myself, personally, in my LinkedIn business, that's where I'm spending a lot of time using LinkedIn and Twitter in order to meet new people like yourself, Tim, where I find mm-hmm. people online. And I introduce myself, begin relationships virtually, where years ago, before these tools existed, I never could have done that. And mm-hmm. I can find people simply by searching radio show, business radio show host, and they come up on LinkedIn, and I send nice notes and say, you know, you're probably looking for people like me, and I'm looking for you, and we should talk.
And you used the right words. I like that. Plus the fact that since you're from Milwaukee and my best buddy from seminary is just up the road in Howard's Grove, that took care of it all right there. But it's a good point. It's a good point. And it was impressive for me to be and impressed others when I could go out and say, this guy out in Wisconsin found me on LinkedIn. Imagine that. So that was exciting. Thanks for that, Wayne. Richard, what are you up to right now?
What am I up to? Well, great lead-in. I appreciate the straight man approach. I did just update my book, and while it's nowhere as in-depth as Wayne's on LinkedIn, I did add a chapter in my job search book called Fast Track Your Job Search and Career, and I added a chapter on social media, and I expanded some of the information on Facebook and particularly on Twitter, particularly on LinkedIn. And so I've expanded some of the social media stuff. Again, not nearly as deep as Wayne, but it's more specifically oriented toward career use and job search use. Mm-hmm. So that's just come out, the 2012 edition.
Great, great. Emil?
Well, what we're doing more of, I guess, is a better integration of the sales and marketing continuum. A lot of people look at leads generation, referral development as separate from the sales process, trying to integrate those better so that it's a continuous conversation, because a lot of the sale can take place when you're not there if you have a good referral network. So working more on that, and then on the other end of it, or within the marketing side, is trying to find ways for my clients to make better sense out of social media and how it integrates with their face-to-face internet or networking that they're doing. So I think there's a lot of confusion, uncertainty, and so forth. I think books like Wayne's can be very helpful in people making that connection to how do I reach out through these tools that are available to me, but also how do I use those to capitalize on the personal relationship development that's required in my business.
Okay. Do any of you have a question for the other? Remember, we're on radio, so they can't see us thinking.
Well, I have a question for Wayne. Wayne, so what I've put up on my LinkedIn profile, once you get past the header and a little bit of the information before you get to my work history, is I have a link to a video introduction. And I don't see many people on LinkedIn using video that much. And I've found I get a lot of hits out of that because people go to my profile and they scan down a little bit and they see the video, and people are just naturally video centric. What do you think about that? Do you think that's a growing trend? And if so, what would you put on your profile as far as a video?
Let me answer that by, it was about an hour ago, as I'm slopping down my sandwich before our call today, I looked up all your profiles and I watched your video. I thought it was wonderful. I think the fact that you positioned it as high as you can on your profile, which most people don't even realize you can move sections, I think it's great. And one of the recommendations I make consistently, and it's in my chapter, I have a chapter in my book called The Job Seeker's New Best Friend, LinkedIn, the world's largest internet database. One of my suggestions is to do just that and have a very short, under 2 minute video resume. And I think you used it well for your business, but I think job seekers, why not have a nice little video where you're dressed nice, you can show some passion, you could and talk some about something passionate, so that all of a sudden you're not words, you're this face, you're this animated person, and I think it's great. These applications where you've used SlideShare. You could also put video in Google Presentations. Most people I meet do not know they exist. And why? Because LinkedIn does a poor job of telling people what capabilities exist. And there are a bunch of nice tools like this that you've got to understand are there. But LinkedIn just doesn't say, hey, I got this new tool. You might want to use it for this. They will not help you strategically. But I love that.
Wayne, I want to emphasize three words you said. Do it well. There, I've seen lots of videos of job seekers who do it poorly. Either their poor speech, poor lighting, poor audio. They stumble through it. They seem rigid and stodgy. So they aren't friendly. They're not smiling. So all I would say is it's a great tool, but make sure you do it well, because most job seekers' videos are not done well. I've seen a lot of them.
No, I agree. And you know what I've done with especially college students is I've coached them with this whole idea of video resume. I'll say, okay, you got about a minute and a half or so.
I'm timing you. Go for it.
But what I suggest to them is this. I said, don't just read your resume. Before we go on that tape, I want you to think of some story that you could tell that shows leadership, management ability, delegation, whatever you're trying to accomplish in your resume, some story from your past so that when you tell that story, I can see your voice go up. You get excited, you get passionate, and we will weave that into the script of that video. And I'm telling you, you're going to feel comfortable when you tell that story. All of a sudden, the cameras are going to disappear because you're talking about something that you're passionate about. I said, you got to find some story during that video so that people see you not as this robotic, scared person with a camera in front of you.
I like that. And that's kind of what I do when I help people write books is tell the stories. Now, Jim Hogan just sat upright. Are you about to speak?
Well, I sure was. Wayne, and this actually goes to Wayne and Richard here. The recommendations on LinkedIn, and I mean, people used to hand them over in paper. How important and how do you get those? How can you get the best ones? I know you cannot accept some, but got any advice on that for us and everyone else?
Well, let's start with how you get them. You got to ask. That's the bottom line on that.
Yep.
Now, the importance of recommendations is this. Remember, everything on your profile you wrote, everybody knows that. Could people stretch the truth and not tell the truth? They could. I don't like that about the internet, but that's the facts. As you're telling your story about how good you are, you need outside verification with the form of recommendations. Now, that being said, most times people need to be coached a little bit on and remind them the kinds of things you accomplished in the job or in the educational situation that you're asking for this recommendation on. So feel free to help your friend. And as you're helping them, reminding them the things that you accomplished and all that, don't forget keywords, because recommendations are one of the parts that LinkedIn's search engine goes through to find keywords. And the other thing people don't realize is one of the things that causes people to move up in a search, and LinkedIn has shared this with us, the more recommendations you have, the more weighting they're going to give you on that one component of the search. So recommendations are critical, but here's a great story that you're all going to love. Job seeker called me just 2 weeks ago, and she said, Wayne, I got my job because of what you told us to do on the profile and the recommendations. I said, well, remind me what that was. And she said, well, I printed the profile of the person I was going to interview with. I said, okay, then what'd you do? She said, well, what I did, like you said, I read the recommendations that that person wrote for other people. And I said, well, what did you find? When I read that, I saw this lady that I was going to interview with loved details. Every time she talked about someone else, it was about details. So this friend of mine said, I shined up all my detailed stories, and I went into that interview just so ready for her because I could tell that was her hot button. She said, you wouldn't believe how well that worked.
Wow. That's powerful. You know, when I do my show on Tuesdays, I always chime in at a certain point with the clock is on us. And I got to tell you, the clock is really on us. This is the longest episode that I have ever done, and I'm going to bring it to a close here. However, I'm doing it with about 7 minutes to go. Keep that in mind, because I'm going to give you each another chance to say something. I just hope that you all have enjoyed this special edition of Right Here, Right Now, and I always welcome comments and suggestions about the content and about our guests. And with this special edition, I invite you to share your ideas for other special editions of Right Here, Right Now in the future. How can we help you with your job search or your career transition? And if you would like to share comments or suggestions, then send me an email, and that's at whwnbusinessradiox@gmail.com. Alan, I thank you for co-hosting, keeping us all on track, and making us able to hear each other.
Been a pleasure. Thank you.
Okay. Wayne, Emil, Richard, even you, Jim. So grateful to have you with us today. Wayne, what is your contact information? People want to be in touch with you. They want to get your book. They want to maybe get some coaching from you. Now's your chance. You got about a minute to tell us how to get in touch with you.
Super. My website, powerformula.net, that's the best place. You can hit the contact me button, but best thing they could do is sign up for my weekly tips on Sunday, usually during the Packer game. You'll receive a tip
Packers?
From me.
Packers?
The Packers! Oh, yeah, they are undefeated, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
Sunday afternoon, you'll receive a nice tip from me, sort of the ideas that I picked up in the past week on LinkedIn, and you'll also be able to see the and go back in my archives, and there's plenty of job seeker tips in there for you. And that's just a way to stay on top of sort of what my latest thoughts are on LinkedIn. I sure hope a bunch of your listeners join me.
Okay, great. Emil, your contact information. What are you working on, and what should people do to be in touch with you?
Well, I'm working on a sales and marketing series for maybe entry-level salespeople. So if you feel like you're in that category or want to brush up on the basic skills, you might want to check in at referralinstituteatlanta.com and find out a little information. I one thing I would feel bad about not doing, and that is asking Wayne if he knows Mark Hackbarth of the Referral Institute up in Milwaukee. And if he doesn't, I'll be glad to introduce you. He would love to meet you.
I would love to meet him. I don't know him.
Oh, boy, you're in for a treat. If he's a friend of Emil's, you're going, oh, it's going to be great.
And I'm sure he needs office furniture, too.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah, probably. Richard, over to you.
Thank you. Thank you, Tim. I appreciate you having us all here today. I hope it sounds like it's been a good discussion. I hope everybody listening will get something out of it. My company's Executive Impact. Put a dash or hyphen between those two words. My coaching site is executive-impact.com. The book is Fast Track Your Job Search and Career. It is a job search and career planning book, very cookbook. I have an engineering background. It's very analytical, strategic, and workbook-oriented. You can find out about that at fasttrackyourjobsearch.com. Just cram the words of the title together. And I do have a free career newsletter with career tips. It comes out, career tips. It comes out roughly once a month, and that's on my homepage of my website. You can sign up there and get off of it, unsubscribe at any time if it's not valuable to you.
Okay.
You're due for another rant, too, Richard. I really like the one you
Which
did.
Which rant?
You did a rant on your newsletter a couple months ago. I really
yeah,
liked it.
Yeah, I did. Thank you. I'm not sure whether my readers liked it, but I kind of call people out about making excuses and things.
Well, there you go. That'll get people signing up, won't it? Normally, I would say that the MP3 download of this will be available at the end of the day, but that's when I'm doing a show at 10 in the morning. So I'm not sure, but I have asked the staff, the engineering staff, to put this out there as fast as they can. I will guarantee you that by Monday, it will be available. I also have all of my shows being transcribed, and I've asked my transcriptionist to fast-track this, and that's going to happen too. So you'll be able to download the transcript if you want to do that. Right Here, Right Now is brought to you each week by Right Choice Services, and you can learn more about Right Choice Services, which is my company, at www.rightchoiceservices.com. The regular weekly broadcasts of Right Here, Right Now are live every Tuesday morning at 10 a.m. Eastern, 7 a.m. Pacific at Right, WRITE, Right Here, Right Now, businessradiox.com. And as I said, the MP3 versions of each show are available in the Right Here, Right Now website archives. Today's special edition will be available by Monday at the latest. I am Tim Morrison. Join us next time when business leaders, entrepreneurs, and professionals come together to discuss the power of the pen and its impact on their business right here, right now.